Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. For those of you who don't know, Women Worldwide is the first podcast show as a part of an initiative called 50 Shows Empowering Women, all to help give women a voice and a platform through internet radio. My show, Women Worldwide, was created to share incredible stories of women around the globe, highlighting their greatest successes, toughest challenges, and of course, biggest losses. These women join us to educate, impart advice, and to give insights, all in an effort to help you find your inner strength. So let me introduce my very special guest today. Her name is Gabrielle Lane Peters. And Gabrielle, I met in London at the Future Comms Conference. She is a transatlantic speaker and social media consultant who advises companies on the best ways to use social media for business, which is so important today. She uses her knowledge of the tools and techniques in this area to utilize new technology and digital media for the creation and building of engaged communities, both internally and externally for businesses. She has more than 15 years of experience in marketing, PR, and advertising, and since 2009, she's been actively involved in all areas of social media marketing. Gabrielle is London-based, and she has a wealth of knowledge when it comes to new business development and strategic planning. She works on social media projects for organizations including NASA, the UK government, and various news industries. I'd also like to tell you that Gabrielle is a 9/11 survivor, and when I met her, I was really drawn to her, not only by her vibrant personality, but her compelling story and how she overcame adversity. So I'd love to introduce Gabrielle to my show. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. That was a big introduction.
Well, you are a star personality, Gabrielle, and it is such a pleasure to speak with you. I wanted to just start it off because everybody remembers where they were on 9/11, what they were doing and who was around them. And I was wondering if you could take us back, we're going to jump right into it, take us back to that day on 9/11 and really what started your life down a different path?
Well, a little bit of background. I had been living in New York for a few years. I'd gone back to university and was studying architectural design and had just graduated as a mature student, I might add. And I lived downtown. My neighborhood was the World Trade Center neighborhood. I live quite close to the Trade Center towers. And that morning, I just got back from a run, and the world went crazy. As you said, everyone remembers where they were.
Yeah.
I won't go into too much detail, but I was near enough that when the second plane hit the South Tower, the shockwave knocked me off my feet and threw me into a pillar. And the combination of the shockwave and that impact meant that I was a little bit broken. I popped a collarbone. I had 5 broken ribs, cracked sternum, and 2 cracked vertebrae in my back. So that's how my day started.
Oh, my goodness. And that is a tragic day. With everything that happened to you on that day, which was so significant, how did you get on with your life?
I'm not sure if I did get on with my life, actually. I think that we've talked about this and I've mentioned it to other people. You kind of go into autopilot, and a lot of people I know did this, which is you set yourself a goal, which is either to get back on your feet, back to work, back to normality, and And so recovering from my injuries took about 6 months. And I went back to work and I thought that I had dealt with everything that was going on. And also remaining in New York and being immersed in the atmosphere there, it seemed that everyone you met had a connection or was there that day or knew someone. We were all in the same boat. So there was a community feeling as well, which obviously helped. Nobody seemed to walk away from you if you had a moment when you're walking down the street and there was a loud noise. You would notice other people stopping for a moment as well. It was that kind of feeling I remember in those first few months. But you do tend to try and get on with your life and just carry on. Not block things out, but just carry on.
And it's interesting because physically you were healing, and as you were moving forward and you said that you went back to work, you probably felt fine. And fine is one of those words that I'm okay, it's not great, it's not, I'm having a bad day, but it's just okay. And I guess you start to believe that almost, but were you really fine?
I think part of it was we all say we're fine as part of being polite.
Right.
Being a Brit, being very polite. And the other thing is, with so much intense trauma still swirling around, we were going through terrorist alerts and journalists being threatened and possibly anthrax in the post and all that kind of thing. And I think part of your mindset, or my mindset, was, well, compared to other people who lost sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, relatives, I am fine. You know, I am walking, I am in pain, but I'm here, and that's better than the alternative. Even though I did lose a lot of friends and people I knew that day, and that's something else you can't really absorb. You can't get your head around knowing 17 people that are no longer here. It's very difficult, indeed.
That is very, very sad. And so many people suffered on that day and felt lost. Many have talked about post-traumatic stress disorder and PTSD. Mm-hmm. Is this something that you experienced?
I did. I was very depressed and overwhelmed with sadness, I think. And that sadness came from a lot of different places, from what I'd witnessed that day, from hearing other people's stories. It was very emotional. But my post-traumatic stress didn't actually kick in till several years later. And at the time, I didn't know that could even happen, which is why I say I was fine and I got on with my life. It was over 4 years later, something triggered the PTSD. And the trigger for me was being dropped off in a cab outside a restaurant. But the last time I'd been at that restaurant was with somebody I lost that day, and the floodgates opened, and I just couldn't stop crying, and it all came back to me. And that was part of that opening up and realizing that I wasn't fine, and my life had changed, and I couldn't just carry on doing what I was doing and being the way I was, because it wasn't healthy.
Well, in essence, that was such an important mark for you, that day, being able to open up. I'm Deirdre Breckenridge, and you're listening to Women Worldwide with my very special guest, Gabrielle Lane Peters. And coming up in the next segment, Gabrielle will take us down a road that she calls community, and how community helped to save her.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformance.com. Thank you.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge, host of Women Worldwide. Welcome back to the show, where Gabrielle Lane Peters and I were just talking about 9/11 and how it really changed her life. Gabrielle, you know, there is this sense of community. And when what you experienced on 9/11 certainly did change the way you thought, the way you live. You went from New York to London. Talk a little bit about what part community played as you move forward.
I think the big lesson I learned was that I had a community, and I didn't realize I had that community. Let me explain a little. When the PTSD really hit me, you're hit by an overwhelming depression, an overwhelming tiredness, you're fatigued, you have flashbacks, you replay everything in your head, and it's draining physically and mentally. And at one stage, you know, actually building up enough courage to go out of my building, and I had moved actually into the village in New York, the West Village by then, was a huge effort. And my local grocery store took to delivering milk and eggs and those essentials and just popping by every couple of days, one of the delivery boys, not asking for any money, just making sure I was okay. And I found a community I didn't realize I'd had. Just the people you pass every day on the street, the people you chat to, the florist you go into. There was a hairdressing salon that used to send a junior around at lunchtime to see if I wanted lunch. Just those kind of things. They were not people whose names I knew necessarily, but they were shops I popped into. And that very sort of neighborhood village atmosphere that when you live in a big city, you don't always appreciate. And things like one of my professors from college picked up my bills one day when he came to visit and paid my electricity bill, not because I didn't have the money to do it, but to actually think clearly enough to write a check and mail it was beyond me at the time. But they rallied round and they took care of me. So that was one particular community that came out of nowhere for me and really supported me.
That's amazing. You know, the sense of community, it's always there, but sometimes you feel almost a tragedy or some sort of incident bonds people together and makes us more aware and helpful. And it just seems that's really what happened and what you experienced, as well as the way friends and I'm sure family rallied around too.
And we're not aware of people's lives we touch in small ways. I'm a bit of a geek. And there's an electronics store in New York I used to go into all the time to play with the new shiny tech. And I obviously had not been in there for nearly 9 months. But I had gone in, and one of the salesmen leapt over the counter and gave me a hug. And I was really shocked and surprised. But he'd missed me. He'd missed me coming in and asking him geeky questions. And had thought I had not survived that day. And they had talked about me from time to time, and that really made me realize how much effect you can have on people and not realize it. So it made me a little bit softer and a little bit more concerned, and I try and say good morning to people and hello to people, and if somebody looks worried on the subway, I'll say, are you okay, are you lost? It changed me in ways like that as well.
That's amazing. And that is something for all of us to learn from. We can only hope to be that way before something, you know, we shouldn't have tragedy strike, but just to learn and to move forward and to always be caring. So that's an excellent lesson. When you left New York City, so moving forward, you went to London, and you also found yourself a lot more on social media. So what was that all about? And did social interactions make you feel safer? How did that become a part of your world?
I moved back to London, or to the UK, to be closer to my parents. My parents are both medical people, and they were the people to look after me, really, while I was going through this turmoil and change and trying to get my head back in the right place. But I did feel a huge hole, a gap, because I couldn't talk to people in the UK about what was going on in my head and how I felt, because there was so, nobody could really understand it. They weren't there. They had watched the pictures on TV, but it's not quite the same. And you don't want to put images in people's heads. So I felt very isolated. And this new Twitter thing just arrived. And Facebook was around. Mm. And those were my two ways of keeping connected with my friends in New York and my friends who had left New York after 9/11, and to still be part of their lives and reach out to them and feel connected. And because of that, and because of Twitter in particular, actually, in London at the time, brought me a whole new community that built up very quickly and was very social, as in having a drink with people, not just virtually. I built up a really great relationship with people and a great group of people very quickly, which if I tried to do it the old way, the old-fashioned way of moving to a new city, because I hadn't lived in London for 20 years, it would have been very hard for me. And there's a brilliant support network.
Yeah, and you know what? To be on Twitter and to know Twitter is to absolutely love Twitter. And many relationships are forged there. I could see that being a very supportive place, as well as Facebook. How did you turn that into a career?
Well, when I came back, and it was around the time the Obama campaign had just won, and a friend of mine worked on the Facebook campaign. So I had an insight onto what these new tools and medium could do. And I came back to the UK, and people were looking at me as though I was an alien, saying, Facebook, social media? No, it's for kids, and it's a fad. But I really had a feeling that, especially in news and connecting with what was going on in real time, it was going to be a turning point. And I didn't want to go back into doing the architectural design that I had been doing, because I didn't want to travel into London every day and be in a big firm, because I wasn't strong enough to be doing that. And purely serendipity, I met someone who was a big PR guy, and talking to him made me realize I actually knew quite a lot about this stuff. And he started turning people on to me. And initially it was just to keep my brain occupied and to meet new people. And then people started saying, can you do some strategy for us? And can you show us how to use this in a more professional way? And how much do you charge? And I was like, oh, I could make a living at this. So that's really how it started. It was all coincidence. And being in the right place at the right time and being curious about this new social media stuff that was raising its head.
Yes, definitely being curious and experimenting and knowing that there's a lot of relationships that can be forged. What's something really special that's come out of social media for you today? Is there anything in particular?
Apart from friendships and good friendships.
That is very special.
Income at the moment from career, because I've done some wonderful things. I think my moment has to be being invited out to NASA, Kennedy Space Center, for the final shuttle launch. And that was purely because of me being on social media and chattering to people who, at the time when we first started back in the day, we were all learning from each other and exchanging tips and trying beaters of various things. And we've all grown up together, and you know some of those people, Brian Solis being one of them.
Yes.
But word gets around, and they were looking for someone from the UK, and I got invited. It was a life, it was a pivotal moment for me, just very quickly, because watching that amazing machine taking men away from the planet that were built by other human beings was very emotional. But the power wave from a shuttle taking off is the only thing I've ever felt that was akin to that blast wave traveling through me. And it was coming up to the 10-year anniversary, and it was a full circle moment for me. It didn't balance it out, but it made a huge difference to me, and I was able to move on even more from there. It was immense. I'm very grateful for being invited there.
That is very powerful. That moment that you just spoke of gave me chills. So that is truly something special. And
I get to have astronauts as friends. What more could a girl want?
Exactly. So if you can, tell us, what would you say to someone else who may be struggling to get back on their feet, if they've been through some adverse situation, a tragedy? What would your advice be to them?
Firstly, I'd say we get told a lot that time heals. It is true, but I'm not in the way people think. I think we need to learn to give ourselves time. Nobody's on the same timetable as anyone else. And you need to take a step back and breathe and be very kind to yourself. We're all very hard on ourselves, to pushing ourselves to get back to work, to be healthy, to sit back in with family and friends and go and play the sports we like to play and all those kinds of things. And we rush around at such high speed these days and live under huge pressure that we don't take time to breathe, step back, and find out who our support network are. And that may be not friends, family, and people we've known for years. They may be the strangers who come into our lives for a reason. And the reason may be to distract us, to help us, to build our confidence, many other things. But I think that's the most important thing, is to learn to be kind to yourself. If you need a duvet day, if you need a day to just be in bed, read books, and watch movies, then take it, you know, because that might be what your body needs and what your mind needs to heal.
Gabrielle, that's excellent advice. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. You are truly inspiring.
Thank you so much.
Well, I'd like to thank everyone for listening to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge, and until we meet again for our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on the socialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or the Social Network Station.